Welcome to the Jay Porks Podcast. Coming to you straight out of Staten Island, New York. Bringing you a weekly episode with the finest music news, server problems, and whatever else is going on in Jay's life. Thank you so much for listening. Without further ado, here's Jay.
I don't get the joke. Temporary layoff, good times, easy credit ripple, good times, scratching and surviving, good times. None of these are good things. It's like sodomy is coming, good time. No, it's not. It's not at all. I'm not one of these guys who's blaming the world for where I'm at. I'm at where I'm at because I made bad decisions. But on top of those bad decisions, God's looping up my ass. There's not a thing I know how to do. All I know how to do is take videos at concerts. It's really all I know how to do. And write some words and do a podcast. I don't know how to do anything else. This idea that Pearl Jam are the heroes of the Seattle movement is absolute lunacy. It's insanity. And the no smoking policies kill me. No one wants to smoke in the venue, don't worry. But if the show is going to be 3 hours long, you better stamp my fucking hand and give me and show me where the door is to go out and smoke a cigarette. I paid $60 for a seat so I can retrieve the seats when I come back in from smoking a cigarette.
I always talk about weed. Force headline on you. I am not going to hit you. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to force things. I will never force headline on you. I am not going to hit you with a weird festival in, you know, Florida with one band I've heard of and a bunch of EDM artists on it. I'm not going to read that to you. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do me any.
So the lady goes, "Stop complaining. At least you're not dead."
Staten Island is a racist place. Just because you may not be a racist doesn't mean you can write an article saying, "Why are we known as racist? That's so wrong. It shouldn't be like that." Well, everybody's a racist. Spend your day clipping coupons. Go to the supermarket. Buy food. And prepare it at home. I know that's a wild and crazy idea.
You can't... Don't you dare! Spin Magazine, you do some dumb things. But I gotta tell you, you spent 7 weeks hyping the Ryan Adams covering Taylor Swift album, and then you panned it? Are you good?
Yo, what is the word, people? Welcome to another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Podcast. I'm Jay Porks, with me as always on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine. Every week is the ever-popular Nobody. Got some things to get to. I'm readjusting the microphone here, putting it above my head so I can look up to it, because we're RIPing Lemmy today. Lemmy passed away Sunday. And we're going to get to a piece in Rolling Stone right here. First of all, before I get to that, rest in peace, Lemmy. You know what really sucks? I mean, here's the thing about technology. Technology really blows my mind sometimes. Yesterday, I recorded a podcast. I did. I really did. I swear I did. But what happened was, see, I plug in the $100 microphone, and the laptop wanted to use the regular house microphone. So, when I hit play, it was disgusting. So, and it was already 3 a.m, so I figured we'll pack it up, we'll do it today. Last night, Rolling Stone had an article on Lemmy. I'll give you a few pieces of it. Lemmy Kilmister, the lead singer and bassist of Motorhead and heavy metal icon for 6 decades, passed away Monday after a battle with cancer. Kilmister turned 70 on Christmas Eve. The band's official Facebook confirmed Kilmister's passing, noting, "There is no easy way to say this. Our mighty noble friend Lemmy passed away today after a short battle with an extremely aggressive cancer." He learned of the disease on December 26th and was at home sitting in front of his favorite video game from the Rainbow, which he had recently made its way down the street with his family. The statement continued, "We cannot begin to express our shock and sadness. There aren't words. We'll say more in the coming days, but for now, please, play Motorhead loud. Play Hawkwind loud. Play Lemmy's music loud. Have a drink or few. Share stories. Celebrate the life this lovely, wonderful man celebrated so vibrantly himself." He would want exactly that. Many of Kilmister's heavy metal brethren and artists he inspired took to Twitter to pay tribute to the inimitable artist. "Lost one of my best friends, Lemmy today," Ozzy Osbourne tweeted. "He will be sadly missed. He was a warrior and a legend. I will see you on the other side." Kilmister served as a co-writer on his friend Ozzy Osbourne's 1991 LP No More Tears, including the hit Mom, I'm Coming Home, and the Grammy Award-winning I Don't Want to Change the World. And in a piece that wasn't here yesterday, "We've lost a friend and a legend," Foo Fighters wrote on their Facebook page. "My heart is broken. R.I.P. Lemmy. Born to lose, live to win." The band attached a live version of Stay Clean from the 1979 album Overkill. Radio personality Eddie Trunk was the first to report Kilmister's passing. Quote, "Sorry to report that I have confirmed Lemmy has passed away just now at the age of 70. R.I.P. to a true original icon of rock." Scott Ian's Anthrax Scott Ian wrote, man, "He lived the life of dreams and he went out on top. He was Motorhead and he played rock and roll." Ian added a statement to Rolling Stone. "He was my hero and my friend. Lemmy has passed away. Truly one of a kind. Much more to him than many knew." Kiss's Paul Stanley wrote, while Mark Lanegan tweeted, "R.I.P. Lemmy, seeing Motorhead at the Yakimi Speedway on Ace of Spades tour changed my life. So sad." Kilmister had suffered from numerous health ailments in the past year, resulting in a series of postponed concerts. Lemmy was fitted with a pacemaker in 2013 and suffered from a hematoma in 2014. Despite his ailment and the 40 years of heavy drinking and hard living, the Ace of Spades band continued to tour at heavy volume, as they supported their latest album, Bad Magic, which came out this year, by the way. This year, Motorhead gigs were postponed for reasons ranging from Lemmy's bad back to the singer's stuff suffering from altitude sickness. "I'm all right, you know," Kilmister told Rolling Stone in August. "I'm not dying yet." Ironic. Born Ian Kilmister, Lemmy got a start in music as a roadie for the Jimi Hendrix Experience. He shared an apartment with bass player Noel Redding. By 1972, Kilmister joined the space rock band Hawkwind, serving as their bassist for 3 years, including their landmark live LP, 1973's Space Ritual. However, by 1975, Kilmister was tossed out of Hawkwind, and he and his distinctively gravelly voice began fronting his own project Motorhead. The band took its name from the song Motorhead, a Hawkwind B-side that Kilmister wrote, and later refurbished for Motorhead's 1977 self-titled debut. "I wrote that when I was in Hawkwind," Kilmister told Rolling Stone. "The song was about speed, and it was an issue to Hawkwind, and that's why I got fired. I never asked them what they really thought of Motorhead after that. I didn't really care what they thought of it. I don't think of Motorhead as a defining song. That song's long gone for me now." Kilmister's distinct pulverizing bass and unmistakable snarl were the backbone of Motorhead singles like Killed by Death, Bomber, and Overkill. However, the band's biggest and most influential track was 1980's Ace of Spades, a speed metal classic that remains the band's most enduring cut. "It's still very popular. When we do it on stage, everyone loves it," Kilmister told Rolling Stone. "But when we wrote it, we were just doing an album. It's just another fucking song. I thought it was pretty good, but I didn't think it was that good, so I have no special memory of writing it. I'm the guy that's always been into the fucking villain musicians, from Gene Vincent to Keith Richards to Joe Perry, and I don't think any of these tough guys can hold a candle to Lemmy," Guns N' Roses guitarist Slash told Rolling Stone in 2009. Let's just make a note that Slash is being referred to as Guns N' Roses guitarist, even though he hasn't played guitar in Guns N' Roses since, I want to say, 1995. We'll get to that later. "The first time I ever saw Motorhead was on the Blizzard of Oz tour. I swear to God, it was the loudest thing I ever heard. They EQ'd it in a way to rip off the top of your fucking head. And the set they do today is the same as back then. Not in terms of song choices, but the way it comes to you, barreling down the tracks like a freight train. Despite the breakneck pace of Motorhead's music, Kilmister himself insisted the band wasn't a heavy metal act. "We were not heavy metal," Lemmy told The Independent in 2010. "We were a rock and roll band, still are. Everyone always describes us as heavy metal, even when I tell them otherwise. Why won't people listen?" As Kilmister told Rolling Stone in August, his chief influences were Little Richard's Good Golly Miss Molly and a Beatles concert he saw in Liverpool's Cavern Club when he was still a teenager. With Motorhead, Kilmister recorded 22 studio albums, most recently 2015's Bad Magic, as well as their UK chart-topping 1981 live LP, No Sleep Till Hammersmith. The album title, which later inspired the Beastie Boys' heavy metal indebted track No Sleep Till Brooklyn. In 2005, Motorhead won their first Grammy for Best Metal Performance with their cover of Metallica's Whiplash. Metallica had originally covered Motorhead's Overkill on their 1999's covers album, Garage Inc. Just thinking about that Metallica covers record makes me want to fucking vomit. In addition to music, Kilmister's unique personality and appearance, the mutton chops, the facial moles, the obsession with slot machines, his collection of Nazi memorabilia, endeared him to diehards and the casual fans alike. In 2010, Lemmy, a documentary dedicated to Kilmister and his larger-than-life personality, was released to critical acclaim. Kilmister boasted that he drank an entire bottle of Jack Daniels every single day since he had turned 30, although he admittedly gave up booze in 2013 as his health started to catch up to his hard living. "I suddenly realized I was waking up in pools of other people's vomit, and I had no recollection of them," Kilmister told Rolling Stone in January 2014. "That's a bit much. I'm not saying don't have fun, don't snort the occasional line, but don't make it your life. Lemmy for cocaine, everybody." At that time, after a series of health issues threatened to take Motorhead off the road and force Lemmy into retirement, he revealed that he was worried about the future of rock and roll. "There's nobody now. There's going to be a huge hole, and there's nobody to step in it. I think it's important music. It's the constant music of this generation and the last generation and the last generation." In Kilmister's biography, White Line Fever, Lemmy for cocaine, everybody, Lemmy wrote of his own death, "People don't become better when they're dead. You just talk about them as if they are. But that's not true. People are still assholes. They're just dead assholes." And Lemmy's passing comes just a month after former Motorhead drummer Phil Taylor passed away at 61. R.I.P. Lemmy. And I just, there's a couple of things in this article I want to get to. First of all, now I don't want people to take this the wrong way, but it says it's got the Eddie Trunk. Eddie Trunk was the first to report of Kilmister's passing. Quote, "Sorry to report that I have confirmed Lemmy has passed away just now." I'm going to tell you guys a little story. Now, Eddie Trunk is sorry that Lemmy died, but he's not sorry that he's the one telling you the story. Because if there's one thing that Eddie Trunk is more concerned about than music news, it's letting you know that he's Eddie Trunk. You know what I'm saying? Eddie Trunk is like that uncle you have that played in a metal band for 3 weeks, saw Metallica that one time, and thinks that he knows Metallica and thinks that he's still in a metal band. You know? He's that guy who plays like, you know, he's that guy who plays bass at the local pub. And like, he's your uncle and he comes to dinner sometimes and he doesn't have a fucking job. He's got the long fucking hair. You know, I mean, listen, that's okay for me. I'm recording a fucking podcast and I'm being a crackhead. I'm not claiming to be a news guy. I think it was Ozzy. Ozzy at the Garden? Yeah, Ozzy and Halford, because it's just an Eddie Trunk show. And Eddie Trunk comes on stage. "I just want to tell you guys, I'm Eddie Trunk. I'm here from 104.3. I swear to God, this guy used to have a radio show in New York City. Sunday nights. He probably still has it. I tuned in a handful of times. I have no idea what songs we're playing, but I know that Eddie Trunk is the one playing me the songs. Because Eddie Trunk here. Just letting you know I'm Eddie Trunk. So I was out. I was hanging out with this band. Dude, are you a news guy or are you friends with the band? Let me know." I don't know what people are thinking. Oh, Jay gets one good microphone. And he starts talking smack about Eddie Trunk. No, I've always wanted to say this, and I've probably said it before, and you probably heard it through the fucking shitty fucking microphone, but I'm here to say it today. Eddie Trunk is more concerned with letting people know that he's Eddie Trunk than he's concerned with spreading music news. And you could tell Eddie Trunk I said that. I'm a nobody. What's he gonna do? He's gonna do something? Maybe he'll give me a job. Eddie, if you listen, if you're listening to this, give me a job. Could it just not be metal? Speaking of not being metal, if Lemmy, see, here's the thing. I know people have weird, like, oh, I think this is this genre of music. Oh, I think this is this genre of music. Well, here's where I listen to the guy who plays in the band. You know what I'm saying? If Lemmy says that his band isn't heavy metal, let's just not call it heavy metal. It doesn't make any sense to me. He said he's not in a heavy metal band. He said it's just rock and roll. So I was thinking about which... thinking I should play some Lemmy, but am I going to play Ace of Spades? Am I going to play Killed by Death? I mean, really. All those songs were a little apropos. But a couple of years since Slash was mentioned in the article, and since we'll go on, we'll continue with Slash in the second half. Slash, a couple of years ago, put out an album. And it was, he had a bunch of different lead singers. He did it like Carlos Santana, you know, where, like, there's a new lead singer on every song. So I'm playing Slash, Lemmy, and Dave Grohl doing Dr. Alibi. You know what, I'll play that. I'll play that for you right now, and we'll come back and we'll get some year-end headlines and forgotten notes when we come back after this.
See the doctor.
everybody, it's Andy from the Andy Dare Show, just thanking you for checking out the Jay Porks podcast. If you want to support Jay and his show, it's easy and it's free. All you got to do is go to Facebook, search Jay Porks, and push the like button. Also on Twitter, at Jay Porks. Also Instagram, at Jay Porks. There's a running theme here. It's Jay Porks all the time. And the HQ is jayporks.com. If you want to support the Dare Podcast Network, all you got to do is go to andydare.com and subscribe via iTunes. You'll get the Andy Dare Show, the Jay Porks Experience, the Tyler Cale Show, and Spin Class for absolutely $0. We want to thank everybody who's helped spread the word here at Dare Network over 2 years that we've been doing it. And back to the Jay Porks Podcast.
And we are back. Now, you know what's funny about yesterday? When I recorded an entire podcast on a shitty microphone and didn't get it up. It's like I had the break. I didn't listen to the first half during the break. How stupid am I? I mean, really? So, like, listen, everybody surrounding me is trying their best to help me have a great podcast. It's only my stupidity that ruins this week in, week out. Okay. So what I had here for this week was I had some forgotten headlines. And I'll get to them in a second. Not in a second, but I'll get to them in a second. See, the problem is, like, I write down things, I have my notes, and I write things down, and then people get shot. And then that stuff isn't as important as it was before. So then I have to talk about people getting shot, and why people have assault rifles in this country when they're not going to war. But either way, whatever the case may be. So, I've got some things that I'm gonna, that I didn't get to, you know, one or two things. But first I'm gonna go with something. I told you I was running with this. What did I say a couple weeks ago about Guns N' Roses? I said I'm running with it. I said I don't care. I don't care if it's not official. I'm running with it because they're gonna get back together. Guess what? Guns N' Roses to reunite for Coachella. Possible stadium tour. This is coming from Billboard.com. Guns N' Roses with founding members Axl Rose and Slash will headline Coachella Music and Arts Festival in Indio, California, set for April 15th through 17th and April 22nd through 24th, according to multiple sources. The reunited band is also negotiating with promoters to play as many as 25 football stadiums in North America in the summer of 2016, and is scheduled to be one of the first acts to play the new Las Vegas Arena, set to open April 6th. Guns N' Roses is said to be asking as much as $3 million per show, with tickets topping out in the $250 and $275 range. Wait a second. $3 million for one show? So does that mean... So how much is Coachella paying them? $6 million? For two sets? I like Guns N' Roses as much as the next guy. What? The last show Axl Rose and Slash played together was... Okay, I'm corrected here. In the first half, I said Slash hasn't played with Guns N' Roses since 1995. It was actually July 17th, 1993 at River Plate Stadium in Buenos Aires. Guns N' Roses' most recent tour, which only included Axl Rose from the original lineup, took place primarily in South America and The Joint in Las Vegas, grossing $15.2 million. Representatives of the band, as well as Coachella producer Paul Talent and agent at the UTA, United Talent Agency, could not be reached for comment. Executives at AEG, which operate the new Vegas arena, also didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. The band's first album, Appetite for Destruction, is the biggest selling debut album in U.S. history, with 18 million sold. It spent 5 weeks at number one on the Billboard 200 chart and launched the number one Billboard Hot 100 single, Sweet Child of Mine. They have sold 44 million albums total in the United States, according to the IRAA. Billboard's confirmation comes on the heels of two rumor-inducing hints dropped over the past week. One, The first, a cryptic update to the Guns N' Roses website, and the second during screenings of Star Wars The Force Awakens, where footage of a concert crowd was shown with GNR music overdubbed. Really? I didn't get that out of The Force Awakens. I didn't see it, but... I mean, I guess when we weren't ruining spoilers for people, nobody mentioned Guns N' Roses. When did that? What, they have a preview? Well, like, hold on. Luke, I am your father. Like, what the hell? Slash at the solo. I don't get it. I don't understand. Coachella has a pedigree for coaxing much-loved acts out of retirement or being the linchpin to plans that had already been simmering. The fest has previously hosted the reunions of Rage Against the Machine in 2007, My Bloody Valentine in 2009, Pulp in 2012, and Outkast in 2014. Not to mention the Tupac hologram in 2012. Guns N' Roses will arrive a year or two after other legendary acts, AC/DC and Steely Dan, headline the 2015 edition. Last year's edition drew 198,000 people to the California desert, generating $84 million in revenue, according to Box Score. So, 3 million dollars a show. Do you know what that is? That is a lot of money. And they're going to get it. They are going to get it. Now, it's not like, oh, $3 million, Axl and Slash are going to divide this out. No, I mean, if you've ever seen, you know, they got to pay for what they set up, and Axl doesn't skimp on the decor, as they say. What, are they going to have a 30-piece orchestra? Like Emerson, Lincoln, Palmer that time? All right, so Guns N' Roses. Will be touring in 2016. I scroll down on Billboard and there's a Lemmy article. And it starts out, I interviewed Lemmy for the first time for TV around 2005 for VH1 Classic. This is way before That Metal Show, which we had him on several times. Who's this we? Oh, it's written by Eddie Trunk. Eddie Trunk, he got two sentences in before he mentioned his own fucking business. Before he started going into business for himself. You kidding? I did see something tonight. Clutch is playing at Terminal 5 in New York City. And in their seats. You know, VIP, but it's not like VIP. And one of the tables, it says reserved for Lemmy. And it's got a bottle of Jack, a can of Coke, and something else there. That was pretty cool. All right. So like I said, I sometimes don't get to things. So when I don't get to things, I hit you with them on the year-end podcast. The year-end podcast. Like, for instance, I didn't even talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. Going in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2016, it's Cheap Trick, Chicago, Deep Purple, Steve Miller, and NWA. Now, I gotta... Well, first thing, Scott Lucas of Local H is going to be very, very happy that Cheap Trick is going in. Because anytime Scott Lucas is asked about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all he wants to know is when is Cheap Trick getting in and why isn't Cheap Trick in? They were doing some in-store performances when they were doing the Hey Killer, when they were touring for Hey Killer. They were around Chicago and I saw this interview slash they were playing some songs and, you know, answering questions between songs. And he was like, yeah, I don't get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame anymore because, you know, they're never going to let Cheap Trick in. Cheap Trick's never going to get in. So, somebody's phone has been saved at a concert because Scott Lucas is going to be in a good mood. I got no beef with Chicago. 25 or 6 to 4, they rock out the horn section. No problem. Deep Purple, I'm going to need to see which incarnation of Deep Purple this is. Steve Miller. I'm assuming the Steve Miller Band is already in, but I don't know. NWA. I'm not going to be one of these guys who doesn't want rap in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't really care about that. It's too soon. The movie just came out. Listen. The movie was incredible. The movie should win awards. I don't think they should get in this year. Put him in next year. I don't think it matters. Eazy-E's dead. It's not like, you know, oh, well, all the guys are on speaking terms this year, so we can get them in so they can perform. I don't think anybody in the audience at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame wants to see NWA perform. None of those guys are going anywhere. If you would put them in 2017, nobody would have a beef with that. Now you get me thinking, what was the movie released right on, you know, was the time where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame can see it and then vote us into the Hall of Fame. Not that that'll take away from the movie. It's still a great fucking film. As a film, Straight Outta Compton is crazy. As a film, it was phenomenal. As a documentary, not so much. But it's not a documentary. It's a film. So that's your 2016 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. In pop culture things this year. You know, a couple weeks ago, or a couple of months ago, I guess it was, I go downstairs and I see my mom on the couch and she's sobbing. Now, I'll tell you a little story. Now, you just heard me. I go downstairs, my mom's there. Now, I'll tell you why. Here's the thing. I have said it, I have a life where I have to do all these things, I have to do a list of things to ensure that I never crush pussy. It's just, you know, I gotta have no material possessions, live at home with my parents. Like, the reason I do this is so I don't crush any pussy. I don't want to be inside vagina. Who would want to be inside vagina? Just live at home. I don't have material possessions. What makes you think I'll ever have a significant other? I don't have things. I am a waiter. Anyway, so I go downstairs, and I see my mom is sobbing on the fucking couch. So I'm like, what's wrong? I didn't say that. What's wrong? She said, I can't believe Charlie Sheen. He's got HIV. I'm supposed to feel bad about that. Supposed to feel bad for Charlie Sheen. Let's go back to Charlie Sheen's Violent Torpedo of Truth Tour. Remember that? Remember when Charlie Sheen went nuts? First of all, you can't say that wasn't like the best 2 weeks in the history of life. This guy was famous, and even though he was famous, he still had to stream his own show on Ustream on his own YouTube channel. Dog, are you Jay Parks or are you Charlie Sheen? What the fuck is even happening? So he goes nuts. The Tiger Blood, the winning, all that stuff. So he went nuts. Me and my friends went to go see Charlie Sheen at Radio City Music Hall on his Violent Torpedoes of Truth tour. True story, my mother was asking when that happened. My mother, when I bought the tickets, my mom's like, why are you going to spend money on that? Why are you going to go see that? Because it's fucking funny, that's why. Because this guy's a lunatic, and I want to see what he's going to do. All right, so fast forward. I guess my mom got into 2 and a Half Men over the past 2 years. I don't know. I don't really know. I don't watch 2 and a Half Men. I like Charlie Sheen being Rick Wildthing Vaughn from Major League. And I like him being an asshole on drugs, saying that he drinks tiger blood and shit, and he's winning. I have to go back online and look at all those fucking old videos of Charlie Sheen winning. Anyway, so Charlie Sheen parties hard. He gets HIV. I don't feel bad for Charlie Sheen. And I had to explain this to my mom. First of all, when I go downstairs and somebody's uncontrollably sobbing on the couch, I think somebody in my family is dead. So as soon as I found out that somebody in my family wasn't dead, I tried to, I'm like, listen, it's not cancer. It's not like he was given something out of the clear blue sky. Charlie Sheen lived a life that was going to lead to him being HIV positive. That's what happens when you have unprotected sex all the time and shit. When you fucking smoke crack and have various prostitutes locked in your hotel room and you have all that sex, you're bound to catch something. That's what happens. You see, you might hear my voice a little gravelly today. Not exactly Lemmy, but my voice is a little gravelly. You see, I'm aware that I smoke more trees than a fucking forest fire, so you'll never hear me complain, oh, why is my voice like this? You're not gonna hear me complain. I know why, because I'm a fucking junkie, okay? Charlie Sheen goes to the news, they blackmailed me. You have so much money. Every time Major League is on cable, you make money. I can't feel bad for somebody who lived that life and then got it. I'm sorry. You should have wrapped it up. You could have easily wrapped things up. You could have protected yourself. You could have wore a raincoat. You could have done all that stuff. You chose not to. You could have got on prep. You didn't want to do that. You instead wanted to fuck random broads and think that there was no consequences to it. And I can't feel bad for that. I hope he gets better. I mean, not better. I hope he, like, lives. Listen. Charlie Sheen could afford it, okay? He could afford it. And if he can't, you know what? Then he might have to go back to work as an actor and make a movie or something. Major League 3. I think he's holding up production of that movie because he wants to be in it. Not really quite sure. You know what else happened this year? You know what else happened in 2015? National Geographic decided that they were going to take heroin and make it a Staten Island thing and not a drug problem thing. Nat Geo had a special, Heroin Island. Now, National Geographic has Drugs, Inc. They have all these shows about, they got one about meth, they got one about, you know, every drug, every town, they've got, you know, something. So, I watch the, I read the outcry from SI Live and the Staten Island Advance about, oh my god, the heroin crisis on Staten Island. So I sit down and I watch this fucking special. And I gotta tell you, it's an hour of complete and utter bullshit is what it is. It's bullshit. They got one guy who's on dope driving around in his car. He's driving around in his car in the snow. He's driving around in his car in the snow with the National Geographic cameraman holding a $100,000 camera inside the car. Okay. He's obviously driving safe enough where they can trust him with this $100,000 camera in the car. He's obviously driving, he's not like driving the back streets. He's driving on the front road. So he's made these car payments. The car's not stolen. And he's not crashing the car. He's driving through snow. Bro, you don't have any fucking problems. I'm sorry. Then they cut to, like, the narrator. Da-dum. And it's like, overzealous doctors and on-the-job injuries caused doctors to overprescribe opiates. Yeah? Okay, so then in reality, then who caused a heroin epidemic? Who handed out the opiates on the street? Like, first of all, it's called an accident at work because it's an accident. I don't think people are falling off ladders on purpose so they can get Oxycontin. I'm sorry. And if you're hooked on pills and you can't get pills, all of a sudden you've trained in phlebotomy? All of a sudden, you're going to start injecting drugs into yourself? I don't understand how that works. It just doesn't make sense to me. All they got on National Geographic is they got that one guy, Mike, and they got a bunch of fucking lowlives cutting fucking heroin. They're wearing ski masks. They got their voices blurred out, and it's like, Jax, heroin bagger. Yeah, because when the cops come to National Geographic's door, National Geographic's not gonna really tell them who you are. They're gonna keep you secret. Sure, I believe you. And they got the dealers in Jersey. So they're talking to dealers in Newark, New Jersey. They're talking to dealers who go pick up in Brooklyn. And he's coming back to Staten Island. He tells one kid, go to Great Hills. He's telling, like, people where to go, where to be waiting. He's like, I'm not riding dirty. Like, yeah, that's called drug dealing. People do it all the time. But what you did, National Geographic, is you took heroin and you decided that it was only going to be a Staten Island problem. Meanwhile, if you look at history, every time the United States is at war with another country, which might be all the time, but every time that is, there is an influx of heroin that enters the country. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that the military and the CIA have a conspiracy behind the, what is that? Military-industrial complex to secretly keep wars happening while sneaking heroin into America. That would be crazy. I'm not saying that. But it's a coincidence, isn't it? I'm not exactly looking for the plane at 9/11 and all that shit, but I'm just saying that, you know, every time there's a war, there's heroin. Put two and two together. And the government would never hide anything from us. So to think that the CIA and the military would be somehow in cahoots trying to keep America stupid, that's just crazy. That would never happen. That would never happen. Said the guy, not conspiracy theorying about this. I gotta tell you, Heroin Island really got me this year. That really... I mean, I don't know. When did I get so bitter, you know? What happened to me? I can assure you, I have not done any heroin. Here's the thing, I've never seen heroin, and I'm an admitted junk box, okay? I am a guy who comes on a podcast every week and basically says, hey, if you got drugs, I'll take them, you know? But not heroin! I'm sorry! The degree in phlebotomy is something that I just can't attain. I mean, because if I was going to do that, I would just stay in med school and learn how to be a nurse or something. I would get a real job. I can't find pills. Let me inject myself with this shit. What are you kidding me? Who does that? You can't get your pills. You lay in bed. You fucking, you know, you curl up in a ball. You have a fucking garbage pail next to you. You throw up a little bit. A day later, it's over. Fucking relax. People like they've never withdrawn from drugs before. It happens all the time. Meanwhile, since this Heroin Island special has aired, Mayor de Blasio has gotten together with some people and fucking... and had some, they got in CVS and Duane Reade, you can go to the pharmacy and you tell them that you're with, that you can't get pills, and they will give you the shit that gets you off Percocets, okay? They'll give you the Suboxone. So let me get this straight. I can get addicted to opiates, get addicted to heroin, go to the pharmacy and tell them, listen, I can't get any heroin, I need some Suboxone. That's legal. But I can't buy pot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, does that just make anybody fucking crazy? Staten Island, you can go to CVS and get your fix for Percocets. They'll give it to you because they want everyone to be clean. They don't want you to be ODing on Percocets. It is the doctors, because if somebody hurts their leg and you prescribe them 90 Percocets, you're just giving them a drug addiction. That's all you're doing. 90 pills. Nobody needs 90 pills for anything. People say, oh, Jay, nobody's getting 90 at one time. They're not. Now, I'm not going to definitively, I'm not going to say anyone's name. But I do know people who are getting 90 a month. With another prescription a month, every month. Like, there is shady shit happening on Staten Island. We didn't need National Geographic to come in and do it. National Geographic should go to the pharmacies. Go to the pharmacies and see which pharmacies take cash. Why any pharmacy would take cash in 2015. Well, I know why. So they can sell drugs illegally. That's why. That's why. Never seen heroin in my life. I've never seen anyone doing heroin in my life. I know of one person who did heroin one time. He went into the bathroom and he came out all doped up. I didn't actually see it happen. And I've lived on Staten Island since 1998. So to blame Staten Island is just silly. It's happening all over. And it's happening all over because pot is illegal. And if you want to look up studies, there are studies that link legal weed states have less drug overdoses for prescription pills. These are facts. These are, if this was the pyramid, if this was the game show The Pyramid, and I started saying, you know, things like that, it would be under things that are true. Things that are indeed facts. All right. Before I get up on out of here for the last time this year. Well, one more note on Heroin Island. What month was this? I'll find it right here. I just passed by one of my notes that said Scott Weiland's okay. I mean, that sucks because he's not. March 17th. If you go back to my March 17th podcast, Pill Culture, I break down doctors overprescribing and they don't tell people to sniff Percocets. So I was talking about this in March, so sorry. Sorry that I go against the trends. Told you Guns N' Roses was touring. Did I not say that? I've been telling all these tables for weeks. And I walked into work today, serving food, and one of the drivers is like, yeah, Guns N' Roses getting back together. Dude, you're late, bro. You're as if a girl was pregnant and her period was late, like you are with that news. You kidding? All right, before I get up on out of here, let me give you a list of websites you need to go to help keep me in business. First of all, there is concertconfessions.com for all your live music news and reviews. For the fans, by the fans. It's where it's happening right here. Now, when you're at Concert Confessions, I need you to go click the Amazon ads on the side because you're going to buy stuff anyway. Might as well hook us up, right? Also need to go to ChristinaRocks.com, hang the DJ, 89xradio.com every Sunday morning, throwback Thursday, only it's on Sunday. It's old school alternative, and she's always throwing it back every Sunday, 8 to 12.01 p.m. And you can get her at ChristinaRocks.com, Christina, no H, hang the DJ, 89xradio.com every Sunday morning. Also go to AndyDirra.com. That's where you get all your Dirra Network podcasting needs. Whether that's the Tyler Kale Show, whether that's Jesse Unplugged, whether that's Spin Class with Tyler and Andy, whether that's the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Parks podcast. You can get that all at Dirra Network at AndyDirra.com. Dirra Network headquarters. And of course, every week, the headlines are powered by Antiquiet. Even if you go on Twitter and people who used to be employed for Antiquiet are tweeting at Antiquiet things that don't help Antiquiet. Even if you see people not following the if you don't got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all mantra, it's Antiquiet.com, your source for quality, not forcing anything ever. And the headlines every week are powered by Antiquiet. Until next year, folks. Whiskey, weed, Warren Zevon. And rest in peace, Lemmy. Late.
This has been the Jay Parks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.